as crack. He's a class act. Rubber band man, yeah, he just snaps back.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Monday, and we're breaking out of the gate with a fantastic show. During the first hour, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Lauren Cordain to discuss the occurrence and role of ketosis in our paleo-human ancestors. So we can get to the bottom of, from an evolutionary perspective, what ketosis is really designed to do for us. Then, at the top of the second hour, I'll be joined by Dr. Paul O'Connor, who has written a study that's broken the internet about baking soda and autoimmune disease. But as usual, the press releases are not telling the full story, and that's why we let the authors on this show to say in their words what they want people to take away from this discussion. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Without further delay, one of the few guests that has his own theme music, Dr. Lauren Cordain.
I was paleo when paleo wasn't cool.
Been a while since you heard that, Lauren.
I can't remember when I've ever heard that one, Carl, but thanks.
Last time you were on the show, I broke it out, and that just goes to show how long it's been. But we had to have you back on.
I was one of the guys that was kind of right in the middle of the paleo movement, and so I appreciate that.
And, you know, I don't know if it's because we get older and we kind of turn the spotlight over to other people. You've been less vocal in the paleo movement as of recently, but your contribution to it really was you were the fire starter for this whole category that has turned into whether people follow the paleo diet or not. It was your lead, and of course Dr. Boyd Eaton's early work. Don't want to lose credit of that, but really got us to start to think about ancestral diets in general. Like, wait, let's look at how our ancestors ate. Maybe there's something we can learn from that. That was a game changer. The fact that you said to people, well, why don't we look at how we ate a million years ago? Why don't we?
Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate it. You know, that was kind of the insight. Boyd Eaton was my mentor, and we approached it from a scientific perspective, and we wrote scientific papers and peer review articles, and it was a legitimate concept. And unfortunately, what much of paleo has become now is crass commercialization. It has very little to do with the scientists, the physicians, and the people that were involved in the middle of it. So if I'm not very vocal now, it's because I'm disgusted with what has happened to the concept.
Wow. I'd like to stay with this for a second. I didn't think we were going to talk about this, but it is something that I've had in the back of my mind. I actually thought if I ran out of questions today, one of the things I would ask you is, what do you think of where paleo ended up from where it began? So, but see, we're going to talk about ketosis today. And my fear is that the ketogenic diet has now gone off the crazy train rail too. When people start calling a dietary approach a lifestyle, this connotes other attributes than just nutrition. It connotes who I belong with, my group, and what we believe in, and all of this symbolic nonsense that a dietary template should never be burdened with. Would you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. You know, for some people, nutrition is religion or nutrition is politics. And that's not what it should be. It should be about health and well-being. And you should follow the data. Let the data speak for itself. And that's why I am disgusted with what's happened to the paleo movement. You have these charismatic bloggers, and I'm not going to mention names, but you all know who they are. If you Google paleo, you see these young men who have no credentials that are writing best-selling books and turning saying paleo can be whatever you want it to be. No, that's not what it is. It's not about honey, which is like high fructose corn syrup. It's not about salt. It's not about making fudge brownies.
That's not what it's about.
I love the
paleo aftermarket, right? Paleo waffles. No, yeah. They didn't have waffles back then, just for the record. You know what I mean?
My oldest son went down to Walmart the other day, and he says there's an entire frozen food section of paleos with every possible cookie or waffle that you could imagine. And that is just the crass commercialization of this concept. And let those young men and those charismatic bloggers, you know, talk all they want, but I challenge them to write a scientific paper and put it up for peer review. That's what Boyd Eaton, myself, Stefan Lindeberg, and many others did. And that's where the movement, that's where the movement came from, and that's where the movement should be still at.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so now let's talk about this. One of our evolutionary gifts is what a lot of people like to call metabolic flexibility. And this is the ability to eat or not eat or be able to eat a wide variety of foods to fuel us. And it's the reason that those of us who are listening to this podcast, those of us who are talking on this podcast, we're here today because we come from a line of ancestors that were metabolically flexible. And they survived, and they had children, and we had children, and so on. So with that being said, ketosis is a human phenomenon. It almost allows us to be a hybrid. If we go for long periods of time without food and blood sugar starts to drop, we have two safety nets. The body can produce and utilize ketones, and the body can undergo gluconeogenesis and produce basal levels of glucose to keep the brain and other organs that require glucose happy. These are two metabolic gifts that we got from our ancestors, correct?
That's right. And don't forget that the placenta, the female placenta, can also utilize ketone bodies. So that's how the females tended to be able to stay pregnant with low carbohydrate or low caloric situations. If it got too low, then the pregnancy was aborted. But you're absolutely right, is that from an evolutionary basis, there were defense mechanisms that allowed us to go through lean times or times when certain macronutrients weren't available. But under normal circumstances, as we mentioned earlier when I was speaking with you, under normal circumstances, hunter-gatherers wouldn't have deliberately gone into ketosis.
Yes. They would have gone into ketosis. Chances are if there was unavailability of food.
That's right. So, for instance, the far north Inuit during, 95% of the year, the carbohydrate is fairly restricted. And so those are populations, but they're rare populations. As I mentioned, humans didn't penetrate the far north till later in our evolution. We evolved in the tropics. Where carbohydrates wouldn't have been a problem except if there was no food available whatsoever. And then they would have gone into the intermittent fasting mode. And now that's something that should scientifically be considered is intermittent fasting is part of paleo. And, I laud Walter Longo and his colleagues, Broadhorst and others that have been doing this fantastic work with periodic fasting. That's real science. And we need to follow that from the paleo movement. And the people that are out there are still following paleo and not listening to these charismatic blogger idiots. They should follow the science that this is leading to. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
So I've tried to avoid the terminology intermittent fasting because just like the ketogenic diet, the paleo diet, the vegan diet, it becomes a lightning rod or a dog whistle. And what I've been trying to adhere to on the show, and my audience is already thinking what I'm about to say because I've said it so many times, I like a more ancestral meal frequency pattern. Right. So
that's a good terminology.
Yeah. We didn't have cupboards. We didn't have refrigerators. There were certain foods that we could probably keep like dried berries and nuts if we woke up in the morning and we wanted to nosh on them. But by and large, we went out and looked for, gathered and chewed the food we ate that day. And so we probably, at dusk, humans weren't the apex predators that we are today. Back then, they could still become food. Chances are we didn't go out looking for food in the dark because there were lots of other creatures out there that were much better at hunting at night than we were. And so that means that we probably, aside from some dried berries or dried meat maybe or something like that, we didn't eat a lot once the sun went down. And we probably didn't eat again until we woke up in the morning. And we probably had a environmentally imposed fast due to accessibility and safety of 12 to 16 hours, depending on where in the hemisphere your people came from. And in that period of time, we probably produced a half a millimole, maybe three quarters of a millimole of ketones. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, you know, I think that we've actually written an unpublished paper on the meal patterns in historically studied hunter-gatherers. And granted, that's you know, a proxy for humans throughout the ages. But there was two typical patterns that hunter-gatherers had. And one was the group went out, the adults went out and gathered or hunted during the day. And they brought stuff back and they shared the meal. So we were a social group. So the women and children and the elderly men and whatever, what have you, would go out during the day and they'd bring food back for a collective meal towards the end of the evening. And then there was basically, as you said, nosh all day long. So if they got enough food on their gathering trips, which they frequently did, they didn't have to go out every day. Then they sat around camp and tended to eat all day long. So during those circumstances, there wasn't intermittent fasting, but during those patterns when the food was, when they ran out of food or food was scarce, then they went out and got their food and brought it back. Now, that is, as I mentioned, it's a proxy because those are the data that we have from historically studied hunter-gatherers. Now, I suspect as you go backward in time and you move around the planet, there was no specific pattern, but because we are metabolically adapted to not eating food and built into our physiologies is the process of burning ketone bodies, then this has been going on for a long time.
And so the reality is that unless we were met with famine, the threat of complete starvation, our body probably would have very rarely produced 3 to 4 millimoles of ketones. Now, I also want to, before I turn this over to you, I want to make sure that everybody understands that I am not talking about a therapeutic ketogenic diet for seizures or to arrest brain tumor growth, because at that point in time, you're taking the extreme path to this diet, regardless of what it does to the rest of your body, because you're trying to save your brain. But with that being said, from an evolutionary perspective, the probability of us finding ourselves in 3 millimoles of ketones would probably have been preceded by an uncomfortable period of no food, and our body was now starting to send the signals of starvation that Dr. Malin Watfi talks about so eloquently in Of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, A Darwinian Approach to Metabolic Disorder. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree with it. I think that just like ketosis is an uncomfortable situation now, it would have been an uncomfortable situation then. And when we get hungry, we seek out food. And the same way with ketosis. Ketosis would have occurred when food was scarce or when you were living in an environment where you can't get carbohydrates. So I think that normal modern people feel uncomfortable with ketosis. But one point that many people that are on this ketosis diet have never considered, and we brought this out years ago maybe more than a decade, 15, 20 years ago, is that when you reduce carbohydrates to less than 50 grams per day, then what's left? You've got protein and you've got fat. Well, protein and fat are both net acid producing, all right? There's no alkaline or base producing foods that are fat or protein. So that basically puts the body into a net metabolic acidosis. Not only are you in ketosis, you're in a net metabolic acidosis. And with a net metabolic acidosis, all foods have to report to the kidneys as either acid or base. And when they report to the kidney as acid, then that acid has to be buffered. And the largest store of buffer in our body are calcium salts in the bones. So consequently, when you go on a long-term ketotic diet, then you will become osteoporotic. And we know that from studies in the Inuit. We've done DEXA studies, and they, despite being ketotic most of their lives, they all ended up with suboptimal bone mineral densities. My colleague, God bless his soul, Stefan Lindeberg, did that work, and we have those papers. So it's simply not a workable deal. A diet that produces ketosis is a short-term fix. Now, granted, one of the big problems in the Western world is hyperinsulinemia, and it is. It's a short-term fix for hyperinsulinemia. So that's a good thing. But you can't do it forever. You got to get off of it. You've got to raise your carbs to a reasonable level where you're not in metabolic acidosis or ketosis.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about what is the body thinking when you start to go deep, deep, deep into ketosis for very long periods of time. We're talking right now with Dr. Lauren Cordain. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Ketocana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Ketocana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketocana banner ad today.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrontil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrontil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrontil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrontil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrontil.
Atrontil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice plus free shipping just to get you to check them out. Over 4,000 organic products to choose from and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes? The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass, vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperHumanRadio.net.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Yo, give me something to dance to.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Lauren Cordain. If you want sensible information based on real science about the paleo diet, go to thepaleodiet.com. Dr. Cordain has vast amounts of resources that are available to you for free. Plus, you can get all of his books there. And this really is where the movement started before it became a religion, like so many dietary templates become. So, If I'm a paleo ancestor, and we both agree that scarcity of food is most likely how they found themselves producing higher and higher levels of ketones, because they didn't go, oh, I'm going to eat fat and become ketogenic today. So they would have been in the 2-3 millimole, 4 millimole of ketones in their blood, because they probably have not eaten anything of significant caloric quality for 2-3 maybe 4 days now. So what I've learned about evolution, when you look at things that manifest in the human body and then you apply the evolutionary template over it, you go, oh, I see why that happened. So when you're starving, sex steroids drop, thyroid hormone drops, right? Because you want to lower resting energy requirements. All of these protective things kick in, like, hey, you can't have a baby right now because you can't even find food for yourself. Those are all indicators that you're going down the wrong path. So my question to you is, these artificially elevated levels of ketones, aside from therapeutic reasons for cancer treatment or Alzheimer's disease, but in the normal, healthy, functioning adult, these high levels of ketones, could they quite possibly be telling our bodies that you're in trouble? There's a reason to feel stressed out?
Well, before I answer that question, Carl, let me just correct you on what we know about hunter-gatherers. And again, this is what we know about contemporarily studied hunter-gatherers. And they utilized a wide variety of resources in their environment. So if it was available, they would key in on 5 or 6 key plants and 5 or 6 key animals. But they had the knowledge during what we call fallback times, is they had the knowledge during fallback times to eat things that were not preferable. They were low in calories, they were difficult to obtain, and they may not have tasted so well, there may have been anti-nutrients in them and so forth. But it still kept them alive because they had all these so-called fallback or second-type foods. And because of that, absolute starvation was fairly rare. We wrote a paper on that and published it in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. And you're right, is that there were times when calories waxing and waning over the course of the year, when they weren't, they had as many as they could. But during those times, they would stay out of ketosis because if they possibly could, because it's like starvation.
Right.
If they could get food, they would. And that's what drove them. And that's why they risked their lives in these dangerous situations to get food. And one of the reasons, and this is kind of getting into a little bit of the anthropology of it, but one of the reasons why they went after these gigantic mammals like, mammoths and woolly rhinoceros and so forth with nothing more than a sharpened stick was because if they didn't get the fat from the animals, they would starve. So you can't eat protein. I don't care what these ketosis guys believe. There's a physiologic limit to protein consumption. So if all you have is lean protein, you will die. So if you have fat with protein, then you can go into ketosis and you will live, but you will not get sick. And so that is something that the ketosis people, they had to reread our papers and get into this. Is like, so that's why they went after the large animals. Large animals, when you scale them, they have more fat than small animals. So a mouse doesn't have very much fat per body weight, whereas a mammoth has like 30 or 40% fat.
Right.
So you can eat the protein with the fat and you can still live. You can be in ketosis. But if you only have lean animals, then you die.
Yeah,
so you either have to have carbohydrate or fat. And humans evolved in the tropics. So they could eat lean animals and eat a hell of a lot of protein, but they could also get carbohydrate. And so that was the evolutionary, those were the constraints that shaped our modern physiologies. Now, I agree with you. You know, there are certain therapeutic benefits by arbitrarily putting yourself into ketosis, but there are total metabolic disadvantages. And the biggest is you become metabolic acidotic, and you lose bone mineral mass because you have to buffer the acidosis that occurs with ketosis. Ketosis and the ketotic diet, hell, didn't Atkins come up with that and made it popular in 1972? Mm-hmm. I thought we were over this.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, now it's suddenly become popular again. I challenge anybody out there that's doing ketotic diet. You can't live with it. It's a temporary thing. It's beneficial if you are hyperinsulinemic, which most of the American public are. If you are insulin resistant, yes, it's a good thing to do to get you back in the norm, but you got to start eating fruits and vegetables and carbohydrate again, period.
You know, and Dr. Mauro DiPasquale wrote the book, The Anabolic Diet, 35 years ago, which was built around a biphasic diet that was part ketogenic and then part high carbohydrate, and he called them refeeds. And that was the only, and Stefansson.
I've got his book.
Yeah, and Stefansson proved this too. Remember when Stefansson tried to, what was it, not Creedmoor, Bellevue in New York?
Bellevue Hospital in New York.
Yeah, he tried to reproduce what he did with the Inuit, and they were eating nothing but lean meat, and he couldn't do it. He got so sick. Then as soon as they added fat into the diet, he was like, oh, I can do this now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we made that point in our scientific papers. If anybody wants to go back and read the real paleo stuff, go to my website, and you can read the scientific peer review papers that show these metabolic effects. And to hell with, you know, these charismatic bloggers that are running the show these days, is read the real stuff. And you can see the science behind this.
So gluconeogenesis, I have come to believe that gluconeogenesis is a very metabolically expensive process. And the notion that, and the reason I'm setting this up is because when we come back from the break, I want to talk about the fact that anything that produces ketones is a ketogenic diet. But gluconeogenesis is a metabolically expensive process. That the idea that you could end up hyperglycemic just exclusively from gluconeogenesis, I believe, is a myth that is promoted amongst the keto zealots today. Oh, you got to back your protein down or your body's just going to turn it all into sugar. That's complete BS, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what those people ought to do is they ought to read the Carnivore Connection, a scientific paper by my colleague Jenny Brand Miller, who is one of the central people in the glycemic index, you know, very famous nutritional scientist. She and a colleague, Stephen Coligieri, wrote a paper called The Carnivore Connection, and it ties into the anthropology of this whole business about gluconeogenesis and insulin resistance. And so insulin resistance actually is a good thing if you don't have carbohydrate. So when our ancestors started to go to these far northern climates where carbohydrate wasn't available, then it's a good thing to become insulin resistant in your periphery. So if your muscles are insulin resistant, what does that do? It allows more glucose available for the brain. The brain can only use glucose. So, and how about a pregnant woman? If a woman is pregnant and she's got insufficient carbohydrate, well, the placenta then can only use glucose too. So if you become insulin resistant, then you're shunting glucose from your muscles or the periphery to the placenta and the brain, which has survival value. Duh. You know, let's get this, people.
You know what? This is so interesting, and I'll tell you why. Because I've been saying, even Jeff Volek tells people, if you're on a ketogenic diet, back your protein down because your body will make glucose from your protein. And it may make glucose from your protein, but it's not going to ever become hyperglycemic. It's only going to make the minimum that it needs. But more importantly, something that you just said feeds into something I've believed for 13 years now. And that is, we have this attitude that whatever is going on in our body is going on body-wide, tissue-wide. And this is not true. We could be, Scott Connolly was the first person to turn me on to this idea that our body can actually become insulin resistant in certain tissue, as you just pointed out, because it wants to preserve glucose for other more important tissue.
This is not becoming something. This is a genetic adaptation. So there are actual genes that regulate insulin resistance in the muscles. And if you look at the people that came to the far north and they eventually moved into the Americas, so they came through the Bering Straits, and they came on down to America, and we now know some of their relatives as the Pima Indians. These people are insulin resistant naturally because they had to go through this bottleneck we call the far north. And so they developed genes that made their muscles insulin resistant. And those genes that make their muscles insulin resistant have survival value because it allows, instead of shunting the glucose to muscles, it shunts any available glucose that you have, be it through gluconeogenesis or through diet, it shunts the glucose to your brain or to the placenta, both of which have survival value. And so we went through this bottleneck called the Bering Straits, where there wasn't carbohydrate, and those were the adaptations that were made in a fairly short period, maybe 10 to 15,000 years. This is a very well-defined concept in anthropology, in medical and nutritional anthropology. Somehow, Jeff Volek included, have missed this idea.
Yeah, and what you've just described makes such perfect sense from an evolutionary perspective. I had the analogy in my head. I was thinking, you know, when you have a big house and you turn the air conditioning on and you think, well, I don't want to cool those rooms over there that no one ever goes in, so I'll close the vents and close the doors. The body does the same thing in order to manage resources. It's brilliant. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got lots more to talk about. We're talking to Dr. Lauren Cordain today. ThePaleoDiet.com is really the website that you should go clear your dietary palate of all of the bizarre stuff out there that people are promoting today as sensible dietary approaches. Because the reality is, when you read Dr. Cordain's work, it's all sensible. There's nothing too far to the left. There's nothing too far to the right. It's all very, very sensible. And that is a diet that is sustainable. And any diet that works that's not sustainable isn't worth the effort. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
I've been watching you a la 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 long, a la 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 long, longly long, long, long. Come on.
Later in the show, we'll be joined by Dr. Paul O'Connor to have him interpret his own work about baking soda and autoimmune disorders. Right now, we're talking to Dr. Lauren Cordain about the role and occurrence of ketosis in our ancestors, our paleo ancestors. So I've been saying for some time now that any diet that allows you to produce some amount of ketones is a ketogenic diet. So theoretically, if I eat meals like the one that's waiting for me to eat after the show today, a nice piece of red meat and some broccoli and some mushrooms, and I'm getting my carbohydrates from these types of forms, nut starches, nut acellular, flours, and all that sort of stuff, I will probably produce a half a millimole of ketones throughout the day because my blood sugar isn't going up fast, insulin isn't spiking, and my body has the ability to produce some amount of ketones. And if ketones are good, then that should be adequate. So what is this notion that, oh, you can only be in ketosis if you eat a diet like this?
Well, you know, ketones are a byproduct of fat metabolism. And we're constantly, that's what we have fat for. Fat is, from an evolutionary perspective, it's time to, you know, put us over when we calories are reduced. And we didn't eat all day long. We're not like a cow or an herbivore. We're more like carnivores. Carnivores like cats, they have one big meal and then they don't do much during the rest of the day. And so we've kind of gone down that evolutionary road. So we're perfectly capable of not eating for long periods, and that's built into our body. But when we extend that to the point where there is no food available and we become uncomfortable through high concentrations of ketones in our bloodstream, then we start looking for more food. There's other problems with this, the ketotic diet, and that's, as I mentioned, it's the lack of plant food. You've got to have plant food to be healthy and to live a long life. And look no further than the ions that nurture our body. You'll agree, Carl, because I know you're a thinker. The health of all of our organs in our body and all of our body's tissue are dependent upon the health of the cells. Whether it's a myocyte, an endothelial cell, a neuron, no matter what cell you're talking about, the health of the organ or the tissue is dependent upon the health of the cell.
Yes.
And I can tell you right now that you will not have healthy cells over a long period of time if you're constantly in ketosis. And there are four characteristics of unhealthy cells. And the next guy that's your guest or whatever, anybody that looks into it will realize that these four characteristics are universal for Western diseases. And we've only known this information since the advent of nuclear magnetic resonance isotopically labeled probes. So, for instance, if you have a cell and you stick it with a pin, everything that's in the inside of the cell is mixed with the extracellular fluid. So the whole thing becomes a bust. But in 1994, Lawrence Resnick and his colleagues were the very first people to use MRI with isotopically labeled probes, and they got at what the ionic concentrations were in the cell. And guess what? It's very simple. There are five major ions that all cells have to regulate. One is called sodium, the other is potassium, the other is calcium, the other is magnesium, and the other are hydrogen ions. So those all have to be stay within very narrow ranges within the cell. And we typically look at single nutrients. That's not how it works. The calcium and magnesium are antagonistic, as are sodium and potassium. So those elements have to stay, those ions have to stay in balance. And I don't care whether you're looking at cardiac dysfunction, insulin resistance, cancer, you name the disease, and we now know through nuclear magnetic resonance imaging with specific ion probes that all diseases that we look at them systemically. We look at organs and tissues, but every one of those diseases have the same fundamental problem, is there's an imbalance of sodium and potassium. There's too much sodium intracellularly. There's too little potassium. There is too much calcium and not enough magnesium, and the hydrogen ions are reduced. That means that they're more pH. That is characteristic of every cancer cell that's ever been looked at, those five characteristics. That's characteristic of every endothelial cell that has ever been looked at with the metabolic syndrome. That is characteristic of every myocyte that's been looked at with cardiac failure. And those simplistic elements are what we need to mine nutritionally, because there are ion channels that regulate what goes in and out of cells. And what we do in the Western diet, and what you'll do if you participate in a ketogenic diet, is you will be working against those ion channels and those ion pumps, the sodium potassium ATPase pump, the sodium calcium exchangers. That's what's happening fundamentally. It's at the cellular level. And once you get that in your head, then you realize that the way the Western diet is set up and these gurus, these charismatic bloggers that don't know nothing about science, they spent no time researching it, they're giving the information wrong. And the information that is correct is to put the diet into a mode that promotes intracellular health. And I can guarantee you that the ketogenic diet doesn't do that.
And see, but this is my point for the preamble to this portion of the discussion. The ketogenic diet, as it is sold as a quote-unquote lifestyle, this high-fat, moderate-protein, virtually no-carbohydrate diet, which has therapeutic effects in short terms, the ketogenic, you can achieve ketosis eating a high protein, moderate fat, and a high green vegetable diet, where you're getting, I think my two servings of broccoli today is 8 grams of carbohydrates, but it's a lot of broccoli. So my point is, there is a sensible way to do the ketogenic diet, and that is to eat carbohydrate sources that are not refined, that are not starchy, do not turn into sugar quickly, but in fact have as much or more phytonutrients in them than the carbohydrate content that they contribute. You can still stay, you could do it right, is my point. You can stay under 100 grams of carbs a day and eat nothing but broccoli and spinach and green peas and bell peppers. That's how I eat. And I can produce ketones every single morning when I check my blood levels. My blood sugar is...
If you really want to do it right, you'll eat parsley. Parsley contains some of the highest concentrations of magnesium, lowest concentrations of calcium, so it's got a beneficial magnesium to calcium ratio. It also contains high levels of other nutrients that we don't even really think about in the Western diet. So what I would suggest for your the people that are listening is that if you want to still maintain a ketogenic lifestyle, you want to get into ketosis, but you want to have all the benefits of eating a carbohydrate diet, I would suggest that you get on PubMed, and if you've never been on PubMed, Google it and read, go to PubMed and read the scientific papers by Valter, V-A-L-T-E-R, Longo, L-O-N-G-O, and Mark Mattson. These guys are the young lions. These are the genius scientists that are working right now in the area of fasting. And if you want to enjoy the benefits of a ketogenic diet, all the metabolic benefits, you want to reduce your hyperinsulinemia and metabolic syndrome symptoms, fast for 2 days out of the week. And then eat a diet like what you've described, Carl, with healthy fruits and vegetables and healthy grass-produced meats and game and poultry and so forth.
I want to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about what's going on with you and why aren't you more active? Because we need you. We need a sensible voice out there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock.
Ketogenix Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenix Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenix banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenix Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana a banner ad today.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil,
Atrantil. Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. lovemytummy.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Lauren Cordain. His website is thepaleodiet.com. He really is the fire starter for this category. So why aren't you more active now, Lauren? Don't we need you more than ever right now, now that there's so many zealots out there that are too far to the left and too far to the right?
Well, you know, I still feel I'm the same resource that I've always been, Carl. I don't know if you knew that I recently retired. Well, not recently. I retired in December of 2013 after, donating or working at giving my life to Colorado State University for 32 years. And we wrote some of the really key papers in the field of paleo nutrition. We extended it. I don't know if your readers have ever looked at any of my stuff, but we were the first people that extended diet to acne in the first time in 32 years. We wrote that classic paper in 1980, and now it's been shown with randomized controlled trials that the mechanism we proposed worked out. We also evaluated this in groups of hunter-gatherers. They didn't have any acne. We extended it to myopia, and you know, so we've done the work, we've done the homework, and I guess it's kind of like what Joni Mitchell once said. She said, you know, you only have so many songs in you. You only have so many papers in you. And, you know, when you get to the end of your lifetime, you know, you've made a contribution, and I feel very happy with making that contribution. And, you know, I still have contributions to make. For instance, this business that we just barely touched upon cellular metabolism and ionic fluxes. I didn't even get a chance to develop that for you. Maybe I will have another conversation.
Yeah, we'll do another show. And we can all, and during that show, we can talk about some of these ketone supplements that have the BHB is bonded to four of the most important minerals. So we'll do that. I'll get you right back on for another show to talk about that.
So to answer your question, you know, simplistically, it's frustrating is that when you spend a lifetime and years and decades writing this stuff, collaborating with other scientists and other legitimate people around the world, and then you deal with charismatic bloggers that have absolutely no qualifications or publications or any science behind them, and they are the people that are guiding because of the way the internet works. You know, you can be anything you want on the internet.
Right.
And so these are the people that are guiding us how we ought to do it, and they move into the ketogenic diets. Hell, that didn't they read about Atkins in 1972? I thought that we put that behind us. But so now suddenly Atkins and ketogenic are a hot thing. Intermittent fasting should be a hot thing because the science supports it. Yeah. So, you know, I'm still available. I'm still out there, and I'm still fired up about diet, health, and nutrition. But, you know, you can only do this stuff indefinitely.
Well, but you know,
I'm going to make it another 35 years, but who knows?
But you know what really frustrates me? And I know you were talking about myopia as a problem of eyes and how diets relate to this, but we are scientifically myopic. You know, we like we forget the stuff that had valid results that should always be considered forever once it was published when weighing in on certain topics that we just forget about and we look at the science du jour. And so, you know, and part of this is the scientific community's problem too. But the majority of it is because of the way media disseminates news of scientific breakthroughs that we don't even pay attention to the stuff that's still valid, you know, that's decades old. We just don't. It's like, oh, well, that's old. Yeah, that was 2013. Something surely must have changed since then. You know what I mean?
That's right. You're absolutely right. It's part of the world, this 24-hour news cycle that we live in, is that, you know, we forget what happened yesterday and are looking for something new. And the information that still holds true, that is consistent with our biology and our health and our well-being, there's some very good stuff that was done 50 and 60 years ago and some good recommendations that were given 100 years ago about diet and health, yet we all seem to have lost those. And, you know, I guess I can't come up with more sensationalism.
Yeah.
That, you know, would bring me to the forefront. But I think that, you know, you should stand on the shoulders of giants. And
yeah,
people should listen to the people that took the field to where it was. And so I think you can't forget those lessons.
Yeah, and I agree. And we will book you right back on so we can talk about this phenomenon of ion exchange, okay? Because that sounds very interesting to me.
All right, Carl.
Thanks for being here today, Lauren.
You bet. Good talking with you.
Talk soon. There it is. He weighed in. He's the guy. The website is thepaleodiet.com. If you've never been there, you're really missing out. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Dr. Paul O'Connor to talk about his study using baking soda as a therapy for autoimmune disorder. We'll be right back.
Eat dessert again. fun with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com. Or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice plus free shipping just to get you to check them out. Over 4,000 organic products to choose from and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Live On Labs. You too can benefit from Live On Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Live On Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So last week, a press release went around the internet touting baking soda as a treatment for autoimmune disorder. My next guest is Dr. Paul O'Connor. How you doing, Dr. O'Connor?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for being here. And you are with the University of Augusta in Augusta, Georgia. And first I have to ask you, were you surprised how popular this study was as it got to go around the internet?
This is the first sort of press release we've done, so I don't know how popular they normally are, but we suspected from the type of work we're doing that people would be interested in it, but you never know.
Yeah, no, this was huge. I mean, I had this study. We got a copy of this study in our embargoed information, but then we got it from other fans of the show and people I know, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And a lot of bloggers blogged about it, but as I started to read into it, I started to discover that perhaps the attention-getting headline that made this so popular wasn't really the exclusive thrust and value of the study. So that's why you're here today. So why did you do this study? What led you to this point? What questions were unanswered that made you look at baking soda in this fashion?
Yeah, so really, you know, we didn't start with any interest in inflammation or inflammatory disease. I'm a renal physiologist, so we were interested in kidney disease. I run a lab that researches kidney disease. And one of the things that's happened over the last sort of 15 years in chronic kidney disease is people with kidney disease often can't excrete enough acid, so they become they develop what's called a metabolic acidosis, and their body becomes acidic, and this can have problems with bones and all sorts of other things. So from a clinical point of view, what was happening is they were starting to supplement these people with sodium bicarbonate through their drinking water, just as we did in this study. But the idea was to bring up their sodium bicarbonate levels, which is the big buffer in your blood, back up to normal and help offset some of these things that occur from the acidosis. Now, the surprising finding from those studies was that it actually helped slow the progression of chronic kidney disease. But how that happened, no one really knew. So that's what my lab was initially interested in, was how does sodium bicarbonate slow chronic kidney disease progression? And we have an animal model of chronic kidney disease. So that's what we were doing when we started.
I've read studies probably 6 or 7 years ago that implicated just 600 milligrams a day in human equivalent would arrest the progression of chronic kidney disease in rodents. But interestingly enough, sodium chloride had the same exact effect. Are you familiar with the two studies that I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, not that most of the studies I'm citing come from proper clinical trials. So there's some controversy in the rat studies, and certainly we think it depends on what model of chronic kidney disease you're using.
Okay.
But there, you know, I think the consensus is there's definitely a beneficial effect of sodium bicarbonate on the kidneys. Whether or not it's mediated by inflammation is an open question. There's a lot of other possibilities as well.
So from a renal standpoint, I've always wanted to ask someone this question. From a renal standpoint, are the kidneys working harder to sequester and maintain adequate electrolyte levels in the blood, or are they working harder to just let that stuff out? So in one model, you have too low intake. On one model, you have too high intake. It's my thinking that the higher intake actually is easier for the kidneys because they just open up and let everything out, and the lower intake makes the kidneys work harder to keep it sequestered and in the bloodstream.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's, we can think of the kidneys as sort of, they control what our blood is made up of. They filter the entire plasma volume every 30 minutes. So essentially every 30 minutes, your kidney redesigns your blood and tells you that's what your blood's going to be. So you can, if you don't supply enough product through eating and drinking, you can't make a cake. If you have too much, as you say, the kidney should generally be able to excrete it, although there's a range for that as well, how much excretion you can do. I think from an evolutionary perspective, we tended to never have enough, so our kidneys tend to be better at getting rid of things, of holding on to things than they are at getting rid of things. So that's where the hypertension, the holding on to too much salt and things, because as a evolutionary perspective, salt wasn't as freely available as it is today, so our kidneys are really well designed to hanging on to it, maybe not so well designed to getting rid of it.
Okay. All right, so now talk about the design of your study. You had both a rodent study and a human study, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So let's talk about the human study. So explain the design of the study, what did you do, and then we'll talk about what you learned.
So really the human study was just a test of principle. It was a really small study that we ran here in collaboration. We're lucky enough to have the Georgia Prevention Institute, which helps us with some of these translational projects. And I came to one of the other researchers I know here and said, we've got this interesting data in rats. It's probably pretty easy to test in healthy human subjects, as we know. We don't have to get FDA approval for the drug or anything. So we just set up an ethics protocol and ran a very small, I mean, there was 12 subjects in the bicarbonate treatment group and ended up with 6 in the sodium chloride control group. And really what we were doing when we started was just trying to test to see if we could make the measurements. We have an immunologist that we work with that we take the blood and send the blood off to him just to make sure he can run the measurements of the immune cells in the blood. And we were really surprised to see that we had such a nice effect. Again, it's a very small number of people, but it was certainly, it mirrored what we saw in the rats, so we included that in the study. But it certainly much more needs to be done before we conclude anything about what goes on in humans, I think.
So what exactly did you find? So first of all, how much sodium bicarb did the subjects get and how was it administered?
So we administered 2 grams, which is, I guess, about 3/4 of a teaspoon, and that's the daily dose that most of these chronic kidney disease patients get. We did it acutely over sort of 15 minutes, just in a bottle of water. So you have to dissolve it first. Subjects came in, we put an IV catheter in them, they drank, we did some baseline measurements, and they drank the bottle of water, and then we took blood for a further 4 hours after that. So we just basically took venous blood from the arm and sent that off to do the flow cytometry, which is how you measure the immune cells.
Okay, so they had that 2 grams in that one drink then. It wasn't throughout the day they were sipping on the water.
No, again, this was just a sort of a proof of principle acute study, so we weren't trying to have them sip on it during the day or see what the consequences were of long-term use or anything like that.
Okay. All right, so what markers did you look for in the blood specifically?
So in our rat studies, we'd seen a change in macrophages. So macrophages, you can have either M1 polarization, which is the inflammatory type of macrophage, or M2 polarization, and then a number of things in between. But the M2 polarization is known to be the anti-inflammatory. These guys come in wound healing and things like that. And that's what we'd seen change in the rats. We also looked at TNF-alpha, which is an inflammatory cytokine, and IL-6. And neutrophils. So all of these things we measured in the blood. So the same, essentially the same things we measured in the rats, we measured in the blood of the human subjects.
Okay, so when you looked at the blood before and after the dose of sodium bicarbonate, what were these individuals, because of their kidney issues, did they have a high degree of inflammation?
No, I mean, these are all healthy subjects.
We just recruited healthy subjects.
A lot of these people were just medical students or people on campus that sign up to do these types of...
Did any of them have elevated signs of any type of chronic inflammation?
No, we would have excluded them. We were looking for healthy subjects. This. We always have some criteria to get in.
So what did you see when you looked at their blood after the dosing? 4 hours later or whatever it was where you took venous blood, what did you see that made you go, wow, we didn't expect that?
So, yeah, we didn't expect anything this acute. Now, the shortest time period we'd measured in the rats was at 3 days, and we generally think it takes a while for these immune cell changes to occur. As I said, when we got the data back, it was reasonably evident that we were seeing a decrease in the inflammatory macrophages and an increase in the anti-inflammatory macrophages in the people that drank the sodium bicarbonate solution, and no change in either in the people that drank our control solution, which was sodium chloride.
Interesting. Because I've been starting to think that sodium chloride is just as good as sodium bicarbonate for some of these issues, but that points out that it's not. And so would you be able to weigh in on the idea of taking a 2 gram amount of sodium bicarbonate and putting it into a 1/2 gallon of water and drinking it throughout the day? Do you think that that would have a similar effect? Do you think you have to have that bolus dose in one shot?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, and certainly I don't want to advise people to go and start drinking 2 grams of sodium bicarbonate a day.
Well, wait a minute. You've got athletes out there that are taking 6 and 7 grams of sodium bicarbonate a day in order to push down, quench hydrogen ions in muscle for distance. I mean, there's a lot of cyclists that do that now.
I mean, a lot of people are safe. It's not going to be safe in everyone. It's a lot of extra sodium. So if you've got cardiovascular disease, these types of things, I certainly wouldn't recommend it. I'm not a physician. I'm a basic scientist.
Right.
This was a basic science study. So if you want to try that type of stuff, I must stress I don't advocate anyone doing this.
Right.
To answer the question, we think the mechanism is actually the stimulation of acid secretion in your stomach. So sodium bicarbonate's a buffer solution. It's an alkaline solution.
Mm-hmm.
So when you drink it, your stomach normally is very acidic, and that helps break down food. It raises the pH, so it gets rid of all the acid out of your stomach, and the cells in your stomach then have to secrete acid to replace that. And because it's a well-buffered solution, they have to secrete quite a lot of acid to replace it. The stomach fluid's only a couple of hundred mils. So the truth is we don't know how much you have to drink. As I said, we weren't looking at dose. We weren't setting this up as a clinical trial to try and figure out the therapeutic effects. But I suspect you don't have to drink it all in one hit. You
right.
just have to alkalize the stomach fluid.
If what you're saying now, and obviously there's more research that has to be done, but what you're saying now is correct as far as the mechanism of action, then mm-hmm. a Tums would do the same thing. Calcium carbonate that they use for heartburn, anything that would raise the pH of the stomach would then cause the stomach to bounce back and lower its pH by producing more hydrochloric acid would have the same effect as sodium bicarbonate. A Tums would. Obviously, drinking water constantly throughout the day has been shown to constantly interrupt the pH of the stomach and make the body produce more acid. So those things would have a similar effect, and I'm betting they don't.
I would bet they probably do.
Really?
But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, water is obviously not buffered, so it's not going to cause anywhere near the same amount of acid secretion. People ask me about the alkaline water, and it's got an alkaline pH, but it's not a very strong buffer solution.
Right.
Tums probably would. I mean, we haven't looked at it, but if the mechanism really is acid secretion, and that's what we think it is, then they should.
I want to just throw this at you, and we're going to take a break, and I want you to come back from the break, and let's talk about this. What about the carbon dioxide? A half a gram of sodium bicarbonate at body temperature produces about 300 cc's of carbon dioxide. I want to talk about that when we come back as a possible player in this discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON, #1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice plus free shipping just to get you to check them out. Over 4,000 organic products to choose from and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Paul O'Connor from Augusta University in Augusta, Georgia, about his recent paper on sodium bicarbonate or baking soda and its role on perhaps blunting inflammation. And we're going to talk about autoimmune disorder and how that fits into this. But what do you think about the carbon dioxide that is produced by these bicarbonates? Both, you know, potassium bicarbonate is also becoming very popular now besides sodium bicarbonate.
Yeah, I mean, if you ingest these things into the stomach, it reacts with the acid that's already in the stomach and becomes water and CO2. You've got to make sure you don't have too much gas. One of the things people are worried about is stomach rupture and things when you're taking too much sodium bicarbonate at once, which is, again, probably why it's better if you are doing it to sip it throughout the day rather than to take it in a large acute dose. But I mean, do you thinking this CO2 does something to the response?
Yeah.
That we don't know about, no. We certainly didn't see any changes in plasma CO2 with this study. The lungs only sort of keep that pretty constant.
I went to a seminar a couple weeks ago that was all about CO2 not being this waste gas that we think it is, and the role of CO2 on healthy tissue and a variety of other things. And I just thought it was interesting because the volume of CO2 put out by 0.5 gram is considerable, and you know, it makes people burp and all that sort of stuff. But what role that has in this scenario would be interesting on a tissue level, not necessarily affecting blood gas levels. Why did everybody jump on this and say sodium bicarb could be the answer for autoimmune disorders?
So what we're saying in this paper is that drinking sodium bicarbonate activates this anti-inflammatory response in your spleen. So it's sort of a natural anti-inflammatory mechanism. So we're not the people to identify this anti-inflammatory mechanism. It's been known for about 20 years that stimulating the vagus nerve, which is the big rest and digest nerve throughout the body, activates an anti-inflammatory response that originates in the spleen. What's new about this, I think, is that it seems that stimulating the stomach acid with something like bicarbonate is able to activate this, they call it the cholinergic anti-inflammatory response from the spleen. So we think that's what's important about it, sort of a relatively practical way to do it rather than perhaps stimulating your vagal nerve. But we still don't know all of the pathway in between. But I think it's the, I mean, I think the reason people probably have been interested in it is, I mean, it's not like a new drug where you it's so simple.
I know.
And people have access to it, which is what's also a little worrying to me.
To people, yeah, everybody
because
we
weren't setting it up for this reason. So.
Yeah, no, I get it, because everybody's going to start pounding down sodium bicarb, thinking that they're going to remove decades of the effects of a disease, and that's not going to happen. So what's unique about the pancreatic inflammation that is different than whole body inflammation?
So the spleen...
Spleen, yeah. Not pancreatic. I'm sorry, spleen.
The spleen is basically like a big lymph node for the blood. Mm-hmm. So we have all those lymph nodes around our body. That's where our immune cells proliferate and sort of share antigens and things. So the immune cells from the spleen, so they go out to these other organs. So I'm a kidney physiologist. We were looking in the kidney and we saw a change in immune cells. If we took out the spleen from these animals before we did this study, we don't see the immune cells. We call it infiltrating into the kidney, but they came from the spleen to the kidney, and that happens in a number of peripheral organs. So the spleen's the source, but that's what we think is where the systemic, where the anti-inflammatory cells are coming from, but then they go out to other organs through the blood.
And so another thing that came from the internet that I saw as a result of your study was that people were promoting this idea that using sodium bicarbonate 30 minutes before a meal was what this dictates if you have autoimmune disorder. Was that extrapolated from the research, or was that invented by would-be bloggers?
That's invented.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. Because it would be counterintuitive to screw with the acidity levels and before a meal, and if anything, in between meals, maybe this would be useful mechanism to lower the pH of the gut, because a lot of people who have digestive issues and vagal nerve issues that affect digestive motility, they tend to have lower hydrochloric acid levels, so higher pH in their stomach. It's thought that this affects the digestion of remnants of stuff. And also, we know that the pH of the stomach affects a lot of things like B vitamin absorption through intrinsic factor and stuff like that. So it would seem to me that the time to take your sodium bicarbonate, if you are in fact going to use this information to try to change your behavior and have some positive effect, would be in between meals. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, if taking before a meal is going to make it hard to digest the meal that you eat after.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm not advocating people do this anyway. But in our study, they were fasted subjects. The results you see from fasted subjects, we fasted the night before. So they'd come in without eating anything and then had the bicarbonate. So they hadn't had a meal. Whether or not it works best in between, I mean, I can speculate, but we just haven't looked into any of that sort of stuff yet.
Right. So not to belabor this discussion, I think we've covered most of the important stuff. Was there anything about this study that you wanted to get out there specifically, that you want people to understand about the study, that may have been maligned by a lot of the would-be bloggers and press releases that went around the internet?
I mean, the biggest thing to me when I saw the headlines on some of these things was that bicarbonate is a safe, effective way. So the safe part, you know, potentially safe in some people, but I don't want to be responsible for thousands of people going out and sodium loading over the next few weeks.
Right.
As I said, it could be safe under supervision. It might be safe if you test it over long term, but also there's potentially serious consequences of taking in too much sodium bicarbonate. As I said, absorption of drugs, it can cause kidney stones. If you've got cardiovascular disease, it's the sodium load that you may not be able to get rid of. So there's a lot of really serious adverse effects that may come through. So I don't, in the title safe, that was taken out of context. When I was saying that, what we were talking about is that it's this innate anti-inflammatory response, not, and it was in relation to things like TNF-alpha inhibitors and stuff. So you're always pushing a naturally occurring anti-inflammatory response in your body, which may be safer than interrupting ones that are already there.
Right.
That was where that came from. I certainly don't want people to think that, yeah, I can take as much sodium bicarbonate as I like and that's safe. It's not.
Well, first of all, large doses of sodium bicarbonate cause osmotic diarrhea. Anyone who, there was a study probably 8 or 9 years ago that looked at sodium bicarbonate athletes, and it made a lot of people take large doses of sodium bicarbonate and go to the gym, only to interrupt their workout and spend the entire time in the gym bathroom. So large doses of sodium bicarb will make you spend a long time in the water closet. The other problem is that large doses of sodium bicarbonate, you know, people love the if some is good, more is better. But hyperalkalinity is just as dangerous as hyperacidity. And in fact, hyperalkalinity may have a greater acute effect on killing you because it can disrupt the electrical charges that cause the heart to beat. You know, so the idea of pounding down senseless amounts of sodium bicarb, it could cost you your life. Am I off base on that?
No, agreed. If your pH goes too high, it plays with the potassium balance in your blood, and that's how your heart knows to beat. So you arrhythmia is all sorts of things. So I completely agree.
So I've wanted to have a phrenologist on the show for a different reason. So I want to ask you a couple questions that are kind of outside the nine dots of this discussion, and then I'll let you go. There is a movement afoot by people who I believe are only interested in taking people's money, this whole alkalize your body movement. And I tend to believe that the changes in gut pH from drinking alkaline water or even some of these smart waters and all this, that's wasted because the body maintains very, very tight pH on serum, but also specific tissues like the spleen, since you were talking about, and the brain seem to have a slightly more acidic, I think, or base, I can't think of what it was, than some other tissue, for instance. So what are your thoughts when you see these alkaline your body, protected against diseases campaigns where people are selling products? Isn't that just wasteful? Isn't your body going to manage the pH regardless of how much of this or how much of that you get?
Yeah, so I should point out in these studies, we didn't see any change in blood pH. If your kidneys are working well, that's their job, is to maintain a constant pH. So you can take in lots of alkali or not very much, and within a reasonable range, they can control that. So I don't think it's got anything to do with alkalizing the body. You shouldn't be alkalizing your body. Just let your kidneys do their job and keep your pH at normal. And none of these things, you know, the alkaline waters, that they don't alkalize the body in healthy people, because you just excrete the excess bicarbonate just as quickly as it comes in.
Right.
So, I mean, we think it's the secretion of acid in the stomach which has to occur, but it's got nothing to do with once the bicarbonate's absorbed or you've alkalized the body. We don't think the response has anything to do with that, because it doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. And it doesn't happen in most cases with things that people take that they think are going to. If you get plenty of vegetables in your diet, you're getting plenty of minerals in your diet, your body is going to manage pH at the best it can. And drinking alkaline water is just, you know, I mean, it's just silly. But anyway, I just wanted to ask a phrenologist that question because it's something I've been saying on the show for a long time. And but there's a large group of zealots out there that believe that, you know, if you alkalize your body, you'll live longer. It's like, nah, your body takes care of pH. It's a very, very narrow margin that it lets it go. So that's of no consequence necessarily. Great discussion. I love the work you're doing. So I would imagine that there's a follow-up study in the works.
We publish it intermediately. We've been following up consistently as we get the results. Hopefully we find the next piece soon.
And these particular inflammatory markers seem to play a role specifically in autoimmune disorders, and that's why everybody jumped on it and said, "Oh, you can treat your autoimmune disorders with baking soda."
Yeah, no, well, not particularly. I mean, there's sort of two main categories that we break the immune system into: the innate and the adaptive immune system. This appears to be at the top, so the TNF-alpha and the macrophages seem to be a mediator between the two. So it changes. We saw it change in T regulatory cells, which are the innate, the adaptive part of the immune system as well. So it may have sort of broad-based effects. As we said, we haven't looked at it in any models of inflammatory disease yet. That's one of the things we're sort of interested in doing. Certainly they've been looking at that with the vagal stimulation stuff, but even those clinical trials are just sort of beginning and we haven't got results back yet. But it could be broad. I mean, it could be from anything from just sports injury type inflammation all the way through to autoimmune diseases. We don't know.
Yeah, too soon to tell. Listen, I appreciate you taking time to come on the show today.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you, Carl.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's REDCON, #1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So, as many of you know, we promoted ButcherBox on this show. If you go to butcherbox.com/SHR, you get free bacon and $10 off your first order. And it's a really great way to get grass-fed and pastured meats if you don't have a farmer to do business with. I do have a farmer, but I'm giving them some play because they're promoting the show. So, my last order, I got a 3-pound roast. I'm not a big roast person. So, yesterday I took the roast, I thawed it out for a couple days, and yesterday I cut it into slices, and I put it on a screen, if you will, with a pan under it, and put it in my oven at 190 degrees for 4.5 hours. I love beef jerky. But the thing I hate about it is it's always got some sort of soy broth in it, and it's got sugar in it. Every friggin' beef jerky on the market today has sugar in it. You know what? I don't need sweet beef to get me to eat it. In fact, I hate when beef has sugar on it. And so I resist buying beef jerky. Because it's like there's 4 servings in the bag. Each serving has 6 grams of sugar. Really? Each serving has a teaspoon and a half of sugar on it. Think about that. Chances are if you're eating beef jerky, you're not eating it because it's a dessert food. You're eating it for the protein and the convenience of it. So I took that 3-pound roast and I sliced it up and I put it in the oven. And I made the best beef jerky in the world. It's so easy to make your own beef jerky. If you like beef jerky and you buy it, you're wasting big time money. You can get a roast for $3 or $4 because a roast generally is a fairly cheap cut of meat, right? You could probably get a 1.5-pound roast for maybe $5 or $6 and slice that thin and put it on a rack with a cookie sheet under it so that stuff that drips doesn't drip all over your stove, your oven. Put it in the oven at 190 degrees for 4 to 4.5 hours. Take it out, put it in a bag, sprinkle some black pepper and some sea salt on it, shake it up, boom, boom. To buy an equivalent bag of beef jerky would probably cost you $40. Seriously. And it's loaded with sugar and the broth from soybeans and all the other crap they put in it to make people enjoy eating it. I enjoy eating it because it's beef, so check that out. And I've fallen in love with pork rinds again. I used to love to eat pork rinds, and I don't know why I stopped, but Elisa and I went to a restaurant recently, and we ordered the queso because it came with pork rinds instead of chips. I'm like, this is great. In fact, we got some sliced up veggies for Elisa, but Elisa actually ate like a handful of pork rinds. Elisa has never, ever, ever, ever eaten pork rinds. She only started eating bacon the past few years. She started eating bison, I guess, about 5 years ago with me. I've introduced her to these things. And so I'm eating these pork rinds and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this is pig skin. There's collagen in pork rinds. So everybody's out there looking for ways to get collagen in their diet because of the added glycine, because of the collagen and how it contributes to collagen production in our bodies. Guess what? Pork rinds, high collagen food. Get yourself some and enjoy them. All right, that's all we have for today. We've got lots more for the rest of the week. Hope you can tune in. Of course, there's always the podcast if you can't. Talk to you tomorrow.